Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, April 25th, and we're back with another great show, Danny.
Hi.
I know it's a great show because I'm here. Yes, exactly. That's all it takes. Yesterday, we didn't have a guest. We had a great show.
Yeah, and it was like, it felt like it was short.
It did, huh?
Yeah, I felt like it was
short. You felt you didn't say enough?
Yeah.
Okay, well, today you'll get to talk more. If you guys want to catch us on Facebook Live, we are on there. Go to the LA Talk Radio page on Facebook and you'll find us there. You'll get to see our guests and everything, whom we'll introduce in just a moment. So did you go to the interview yesterday? Do you have any stories about it? Anything?
I'm pretty sure he just wants to sleep with me.
Yeah, huh? That's what you
feel. It started off really professional, and right. Then he was talking about how he had a nanny, and him and the nanny had a relationship, and I'm like, I don't need to know that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, he obviously was trying to hit on you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
To see how you'd react.
Like, AKA, this is what's going to happen when you start working for me. I'm like, no, it's not.
Right. Why would you say it, you know? But that's the thing. Maybe he's trying to get you to go, oh, really? Well, maybe he can have an affair with me.
No.
Ew. Is that how men think?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty
some,
sure. Yeah.
Some do.
Then he's like, do you want some tequila? I was like, yes, make it 2. Thanks.
Really?
Yep.
Where did you meet?
We met at a restaurant. Flag number 1 that it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah. At least it's a restaurant, not a hotel room.
I know. Well, I would never meet anyone in a hotel
room. I know. That's what I'm saying. Some people, I don't understand, but
no,
they do.
Like, but then I went to a live taping of a Comedy Central show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last night.
How was that?
It was actually really fun. It was actually like acting because we had to like redo so many like reactions to the comedy, even though they weren't on stage. And it made me miss being on set.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. But it was cool.
Yeah,
it was my
yeah.
first live taping of a show.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you get on that?
Taron invited me.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. So now I was going to ask you because, I mean, you knew you'd probably have a problem with the interview because a guy told you before you're too pretty, right?
Right.
So maybe you should just like...
go looking like shit?
Like shit.
Like this.
No, not like this, but like shit. I mean, you still look good like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you saw me yesterday compared to today.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
But yeah, you went looking striking. And,
right.
And I guess...
in a red dress. Like, come on.
Right.
Mistake number 2.
Red lipstick, mistake number 3.
I've honestly never experienced anything like this.
Yeah, like in LA, huh?
Yeah, like people like won't hire you, or they will hire you just because of your looks.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the
it's
weirdest
terrible.
Thing.
I know.
I was like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I'm telling you, go into sales where that's going to work for you.
I probably still wouldn't get the job.
You would?
No, I probably wouldn't.
Why?
Because my confidence level of getting a job is like, at this point.
Okay, well... but like I said, you have a lot of confidence talking to people and everything.
I know.
Into sales, like I told you, you'll see it'll
He's
work.
Like, I want you to be my travel companion when I go talk to people. I go, what
oh,
exactly
I'm sure
does
he
that
does.
Mean?
Well, yeah, what the fuck is
I go, what
people?
Does that mean? He goes, we're just going to be flying to like Hawaii, Mexico. I was like, no.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously,
nope.
He's not focused on work, is he?
No, it's not
Did he talk
out.
About the work at all?
Not really. Just that he wants me to like end the sale. I'm like, and what sale? Like, what are you even talking
he
about?
He wants you to close the sale?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What are you selling?
I don't know.
So what the hell?
I have no idea.
So he
idea.
Took more time to hit on you than he did to talk about the job.
I was like literally just enjoying the free food, to be honest
yeah,
with you.
Right?
I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah. I don't know how you end up finding all these perverts.
I don't know. People always think I'm making it up. I'm like, no, this shit is real.
Right.
Happens to me like weekly.
Right.
And then the club gig...
maybe you should try another city, another town.
I went to Santa Monica to work at a club last week.
That's still LA.
That's I'm far. Saying, it took me an hour to get there and an hour to get home.
Right.
And I thought it went well, and the guy was super hot, though.
I'm just saying you got away from trouble. Boston. Maybe LA was not the destination. Keep looking for a different place.
Where am I supposed to go? Like, what
I
do you want
know.
To just drive to San
but
Diego?
But you're not
every
happy
weekend?
Here, you know?
No, that's not correct.
No?
I'm sad on some days, and other days I feel great.
All right, because I saw the video with the tears.
Yeah, because I was drunk.
Okay. Did you preface that on there? Did you tell people, hey,
don't I've been take drinking some tequila, don't buy me.
And you still put the video up, even though you were drunk.
I was wasted.
That's dedication to your followers, let me tell you.
And you know what it is? There's some days I really do hate LA, and there's some days where I'm like, wow, I really love this city.
Yeah.
If I had money, I'd be happy.
That's what I'm saying. But it's hard in this town, and it's hard to pay the bills, too, because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't make a lot. It costs you a lot. That's why a lot of people end up leaving.
My internet has been down since Sunday, and my roommate's like, I'm not putting it back on until you pay me for your past due utilities. I'm like, fuck. All right. Let me figure it out.
Oh, God.
Let me ask you a question, though. So, like... Yeah. If you're a guy, right, and you have a girlfriend, no sexual chemistry whatsoever, do you think it's appropriate to be like, hey, you look fat?
If you're real friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's so rude.
Really?
Yeah, I got pissed yesterday because I walked out to the car.
Uh-huh.
And my friend was like, not, hey, you look nice, whatever. Hey, you're definitely gaining weight. I was like, yo, why would you say that right before we're about to go to a live taping of a show?
Right. No, the timing was wrong. But yeah. I think as far as friends, if your friends don't tell you the truth, who would? You know, I mean, would you want someone to
tell you? Well, you see me every day. Does it look like I'm gaining weight?
Well, no, I don't even pay attention to that, really.
Well, I mean,
if I saw you every day, I probably would notice. It's only when you don't see somebody for a while.
That's true. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say. Look, it hasn't even crossed my mind, wow, should I tell her she's gaining weight? No.
I was so pissed.
No, I'm just saying, look, you asked me if a true friend, a close friend, if I'd be offended. I wouldn't. But because I would want a friend to tell me rather than a stranger, you know.
Right. He's like, you need to like go home and change your outfit. I was like, whoa.
Oh, well, that's too much. Yeah.
No, buddy. No,
that's not it.
That's so mean.
Yeah. No, it is mean, though. You don't say that to a woman, period, right?
I mean, I wouldn't care if it was, like, my girlfriend telling me. Like, I tell my sister when she's gaining weight.
Yeah.
I'm like, Gabby, lay off the toaster
strudel. It's because he's a guy, but he's a friend.
Yeah.
But it's because he's a guy that you... Okay, well, I can accept that. I don't know. Haven't had to deal with it, so I don't
like,
know.
He sent me a text a week ago, and I posted a picture. He goes, delete your last pic. It was horrible. And I go, why was it horrible? He goes, you look old, and you look fat.
Oh,
I was
well,
like,
that's terrible.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's terrible.
First of all, I never look old. I look like I'm 25. Yeah.
Plus, you know what? Whoever you're talking about, I think I know who you're talking about. Not much class that I've seen. But what do I know?
I have to find out what happened between you two.
Nothing really. It's just from observing. Anyway, folks, we're going to get to our guests in just a moment. I just wanted to let you know we're not going to be live until Tuesday.
Oh, my God. It makes me want to be going away.
Yeah, I know. Well,
what am I going to do for the next 5 days?
I don't know.
Find a bridge and jump off. That's what I'm going to do. No, I'm going to figure out how to... pay my
take
roommate.
Some time off. Go to the beach. What the hell?
I do want to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that.
What the hell? I mean, you're not working anyway. Might as well do something with your time.
I know. God.
So I'm not telling anybody where I'm going, but I will tell you afterwards so I don't get any people following me or anything. No, not
that's
really.
That's actually clever.
Yeah.
Leave it a mystery until Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then you can tell us all about it.
Plus, people say, don't say that you're going to be gone because then people will come and break into your house. But, you know, who cares? Nobody knows where I live.
I never
actually
thought about that.
Yeah, no, people say that all the time, especially if you have a house, not an apartment, but a house, and you just leave. If people don't know your home, man, that's why on social media, you don't want to announce when you're gone.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
That's very true. That's a good point.
Yeah. I get a lot of points today, huh?
Right.
There you go.
My sister just
smarter
put that up.
Than normal.
She's an idiot. She's like, my mom's away for a week. I'm here by myself. Yeah, that just screams break into my house and kidnap me.
Yeah, that's true, right?
We should probably tell her to delete those now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Too late.
Yeah, it's way too late.
All right, we're going to bring in our guest right now, or our guests. We're going to be talking about short film today. That is called Laboratory Conditions, and it sounds pretty cool. It's a live-action short film, and we're going to find out all about it from director Jocelyn Stammet, right? Mm-hmm. And Terry Rossio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much.
Get closer to the mic.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you guys both based in L.A., Angelinos, or are you just visiting? How does it work?
We're based here.
Yeah?
Yep.
The business is here, and so here we are.
Yeah.
Right? It is now, here.
When... were you born here?
No, I was born on the East Coast.
Oh, same. Really? Where?
Baltimore.
Really? Okay. Well, that's kind of far from
you,
right?
Yeah, it's like a 10-hour drive.
Yeah, she's from Boston. But yeah.
Well, I went to school in Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I went to Harvard undergrad.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, we got someone smart here. I'm intimidated now.
I'm proud of my hometown.
Yeah, where's that?
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Really?
So nice.
That's a cool name.
It is. It's so great to have that as a hometown. I just I love saying the word Kalamazoo.
Yeah,
it is. It sounds like kazoo or something.
I might name my kid that.
So, and when did you move to L.A.?
Around 2005, 2006.
Oh, so you've been here a while.
A little while, yeah.
So what made you move? Was it the film industry?
It was actually the film industry. It was also Terry Rossio.
Oh, okay. So you guys, so you moved here together?
He was here.
I seduced her out to the film business from being a ENT, or how do you say it?
Otolaryngologist. I'm a head and neck surgeon.
Oh, my God. Oh. Wow.
Who was that? You were that?
I was. Well, I still am.
Because I'm saying that because I can't say the word. I mean, what is it again?
Yeah. It's basically ear, nose, and throat and head and neck reconstructive surgery.
Right. So wow. You're a surgeon?
Yes.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Wow.
I'm so impressed.
Yeah, I'm so impressed. I'm telling you, I'm going home. I'm really intimidated now. Yeah.
You should check his nose.
I love being around smart people. That's cool.
She drops Harvard. She drops, ENT surgeon, Okay.
Why not? She's accomplished it.
I'm just a screenwriter.
Yeah, right. And when did you move here, Terry?
Oh, gosh. Well, my parents came out here when I was two.
Oh, okay. So you've lived here all your life.
Just now getting to learn the traffic patterns.
Just now?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Been here long enough to figure those out. When to make that lane change on the 101 to, get around.
Yeah, I'll give you some tips on that. I drive it every day.
I avoid the highway. I just take all back roads always.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I do too.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm good. I'm so good.
We had a debate coming over 405 or Beverly Glen.
Beverly Glen.
Beverly Glen.
Beverly Glen wins every time. There's a lot to see on the way, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Very cool. And so you grew up in Baltimore.
Well, I was there just for a few days. And then basically grew up in North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Okay, yeah. So that's what we're after. How's North Carolina? I mean, I hear it's so beautiful. In fact, I've been talking about it lately, saying I'd like to visit it, maybe go retire there one day.
It's a great state to retire.
Really?
It is.
So what goes on there? I mean, what's the weather like? Is it nice?
It's beautiful.
Really?
It's beautiful all year. They get snow a couple times a year, but it's just sort of a dusting.
And, really?
It's great. The summers can be a little hot, but...
Yeah, and they have beaches, right?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful beaches.
Beautiful beaches.
I went there once to host a party. It was dope.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I was there for like 24 hours, and I was like, this is lit!
Where was it? What city did you go to?
The capital? I don't fucking know, Sam. It was like what 10 years ago.
Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Yes.
Okay.
We're just going to go with that. That's where it was. Downtown Rawlings.
Is that where you were from, too?
I spent most of my time in Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill. Never heard of that one, man.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah?
I think that's like in history books, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't there like a war there or something?
Well, great basketball.
The great basketball.
That's close.
Close enough.
What is it? Duke and
UNC.
UNC.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always fighting it out there.
I see. And so you grew up in Kalamazoo. What was that like? Do you have any siblings?
Well, you were only there for two, so you don't really remember, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you came here. Do you have any siblings, though?
Yeah, I have an older brother. Mm-hmm. For the most part, though, you know, Southern California's home. I live down in past the Orange Curtain down in El Toro. Uh-huh. Actually saw them build the 405.
Really? You know,
so yeah. That kind of gives you an idea of when we moved out there.
Right.
Back when it was all really orange groves in Orange County.
That's true, right? That's some time ago. I remember that, actually. No, I don't. I don't remember the groves. I've been here 40 years, but, you know, I mean, it's still... I have seen the place change quite a bit, right, Terry? I mean, it's changed a lot.
It used to be that you could just drive down to the beach in 10 minutes from anywhere, park, and find a fire pit, you know, and that's
right.
Not quite the case.
No, not anymore, man.
Not. I went to the beach a couple weeks ago, 2 hours. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then once you get there, all the fire pits are taken at 6 a.m. already.
Right. So you and there's nowhere to pee. Why don't they have any bathrooms?
They do.
On the beach?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
It's called the ocean.
Yeah. I'm like, you literally have to like go pretend that you're like sitting trying to get like...
No, they have restrooms. Come on.
No, I'm dead serious.
Them.
They don't. If I wasn't like going to my friend's house.
They have sand.
Yeah.
Actually.
Ugh.
Go on the sand. Breath. Yeah. All right. Well... So, what made you decide to go into medicine?
Oh, that's interesting. I was always interested in science.
Mm-hmm.
I was an English major, but I was interested in science.
Often. Yeah.
And helping people. I really enjoyed the surgical aspect as well because I like to work with my hands.
Wow. Well, I can find you a lot of things to do with your hands, but to do surgery, my God.
I think it's
would
awesome.
Not be my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
But so
it kind of freaks me out. I mean, I went on rounds with her once and she's like, you know, look, you can take this muscle from here and actually put it over there. I'm like, whoa.
Right. So you know how to like check glands?
Which glands?
Like your neck glands?
I can.
I might have you do that after the show. I've been having like anxiety for the past couple of days. So I feel like my neck feels weird.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. So now that she said that she's an ear, nose, and throat doctor, I'm like, we might have to talk about this after the show.
Oh, well. But, you know, because it's funny because I was just thinking about how they put together like everything. Because there was an article about this guy was implanted a penis or something, you know, transplant.
Oh, yeah. There's been the first ever. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. What?
A penis transplant.
Yeah.
And scrotum.
And scrotum,
like
too.
Like from somebody else's body.
Yes.
Like
yes.
A dead person's body?
Probably,
that's
right?
Exactly what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So they take it from a dead person, and he actually can be sexually functional. And
but what happens
able
to his
to
original
pee?
Dick?
Well, I don't know. Something. Oh, he was
a war veteran.
Yeah, a war veteran. He got injured or something.
Yeah, it was one of those bombs. Those.
Yeah.
So his dick got blown off.
That's one way to put it. Yeah. They, interestingly, they did not actually transplant the testicles, weirdly enough, because there was an ethical issue about. The DNA of the person.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because
if
that,
he has
yeah.
kids, it wouldn't be his kids.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. So there's a little detail.
Yeah.
Detail.
So let me ask you this. So do they have to go and connect each one separately, like of the nerves and the blood and all that stuff, when they put together something like that?
Well, my specialty is not really below
so
the waist.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant in surgery in general. When something's cut...
Yeah,
right?
Usually you do. You need to attach at least the main arteries and nerves.
Right, right. Wow. I can't even imagine this. I get, you know, queasy just thinking about it.
I mean, you need to get surgery on your nose, dude.
Why?
He has sleep apnea, and I'm like, just get it, like, lasered.
But it's not in the nose. It's in the tongue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
See, my dad had sleep apnea, and they, like, lasered in his nose.
Mm.
Sometimes you can do something in the nose. You can do if you have a deviated septum. It can
right, exactly. Where it's hard for you to breathe through your nose.
Yeah.
And then
I have a deviated septum, but I don't really snore.
Too.
I think I only snore when I'm starting to get sick.
Mm. Well, wait till you get older.
I know. I'm going to be single for life because I'm already older.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm fascinated, Jocelyn, that you went from that kind of field. So did you? So you went for undergrad at Harvard. Where did you go for your graduate?
I went to Duke for med school.
Oh, to Duke.
And that's in North Carolina.
That's right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wow. So how do you get into these schools? I mean,
she's smart.
You must have really you must really love school, too, right?
I put on my red lipstick.
Really?
Yes, oh, there you go.
Oh, come
she
on.
She does what I do. Just showed up.
That's not how you get into Harvard, I can tell you that. You have to have something between the ears, too, you know. Very cool. Well, I'm very impressed for you. So, but then you decided what? That's not what you wanted to do anymore? You wanted to get into film?
Well, I moved out here and actually had a medical practice for a while.
Okay.
And what happened was Terry and I started working together, and we came up with some short films, very short films, that were more comedic, and it was really fun. We had a blast doing it, and
won some awards.
Won some awards for them.
Wow! And, so, how did you guys connect in the first place? Was it here in L.A.?
Right.
Indeed. Do you want to tell that story, or should
why
I?
Why don't you tell
we,
it?
Or should we skip it? We met in bed, actually.
Okay.
Great
story. Great headline.
Yeah. Wait, like you guys were like hooking up.
Well, I used to throw these sort of epic parties all the time, like once a month.
See, I wouldn't take you for a guy that throws a party.
See, that's exactly why I threw them. I needed to...
I can see him as a young, wild guy. You know,
I needed totally to cast the net wide and see who might arrive. And so we had a mutual friend who invited Jocelyn out from Chicago. And that night... I had a, what was the theme?
Oh, it was a theme Mardi party.
Mardi Gras theme. Well, I would always do crazy things. Like, I found giving parties, you have to have something for the extroverts to do.
Right, right.
And then something for the introverts to go, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that.
Right. Do you still have parties? Like once a year, maybe?
At least we do an epic Halloween party.
Okay, can I get invited next year?
Oh, absolutely. What I really
maybe I'll meet my husband at your party. What's up?
Oh,
she invites herself all the time. Don't worry about it.
I do, literally.
What we really want to do is kind of take up and do a Midsummer Night's Dream party.
Oh, that's cool. Like Shakespeare-ish?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Hugh Hefner used to do those.
That's true.
Those aren't happening anymore. So somebody has to pick up.
Is that Playboy Mansion still open? Or is it like done indefinitely?
It's sold, right?
Just sold. I don't know, sold.
So recently, someone's gonna like take it over and make it a new like bunny palace or
something else? Yeah,
we're in line for that. I mean, we'll
yeah,
put
you
bid.
Buy it.
Wow,
too, right?
Can you believe that legend is just done now?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, well,
so
you know.
So I had this Mardi Gras party, and I was showing this video, and of course the party was really loud, so I invited like 20 people into the bedroom,
right,
where there was a tape. You know, this was actually videotape back at that time. And everybody jumped onto the bed. I put the tape in, and there was one spot left open.
Uh-huh.
And this girl shows up. Says, "What's going on?" She jumps into bed. We say hello, show the tape, and the rest is history.
That's cool. What was on the tape?
It was
a porn or something?
No, I was showing a trailer for worked on the Pirates of the Caribbean films, so it was one of the trailers for the Pirates of the Caribbean. It hadn't been shown yet, so
yeah.
What was great is Terry. One of the great things about his parties, he would always have like 100 Polaroid cameras, so everyone could take pictures and put their picture up on a bulletin board and write their name under it.
Yeah,
so during
yeah.
the party. If you forgot someone's name, you could just go to the board.
And that's
a good
clever
idea.
As hell.
Yeah, yeah.
So right as I jumped onto his bed,
uh-huh.
someone showed up with the Polaroid camera and said, "Hey, let's take a photo."
Yeah.
So we put our arms around each other, and they snapped the photo, and we have the photo of when
to
we
this
first
day?
Met.
Really?
The minute we met.
That's crazy.
How cool is that? Very nice. And then the rest is history?
That's right.
Really? So you ended up meeting and get married and everything? Are you guys married?
We are.
Oh,
well,
indeed.
Congratulations to you.
Wow,
you
that's like fate.
Any children?
We have two boys.
Two.
Ah.
Twins.
Really?
I'm a twin.
You are?
I'm a twin sister.
Do you have any tips for us?
How old are they?
They are four.
They're turning four.
Turning four.
Next week. This week.
Are they identical or fraternal?
Fraternal.
They might grow apart.
This is what's interesting.
Not necessarily.
Fraternal twins aren't as close as identical twins. It's like so weird.
Yeah, but I've seen many that still have stayed very,
like,
very
they're
close,
but they're not as close.
Okay.
Like, my sister can call me and be like, what's wrong? Like, she did it this morning because I was a little crappy this morning. Right. And I was like, that's so weird.
Really? You're identical.
Yeah, identical. Like, she'll be across the room and I'll just stare at her and she knows exactly what I'm thinking. It's the creepiest thing. But I've met, like, a lot of twins in my lifetime, and fraternal twins are like, yeah, I'm close, but, like, not that close. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Ours even have different birthdays.
Oh, because one was born like 1 minute past or something?
You got it.
In different months.
In different months.
Oh, really?
That's kind of cool, but kind of sad at the same time, because then no one's going to be like, you're not really twins.
They're just brothers born 5 minutes
apart. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, there you go. Did you guys know in advance you were going to have twins?
At a certain point, they tell you.
You need to know, right?
That information arrives, and you go, oh, wow.
Yeah, they actually told my mom. They're like, hey, we think your child is going to have spina bifida.
Yeah.
Yeah, they told her that you might want to think about, like, getting an abortion. And she was like, I'm going in for a second opinion. And the doctor was like, whoever told you that's an idiot, you're having twins.
Wow.
Thanks, Mom. Jeez. Glad I'm here.
Yeah.
Save to Mom.
Yeah.
And Terry, did you grow up into the film industry, or were you doing something before when you guys met?
I had no clue about the film industry, just wanted to be a part of it. I had no contacts, no entry, and no idea on how to do it. So just wrote screenplays, sent them out, and eventually
they caught on.
Yeah,
huh?
Eventually
screenplays
caught on.
Is a big deal, though, because I always watch movies and I'm like, how do you even come up with, like, even a scene where it's like, and then he turned his head. It's like, how do you know that he was going to turn his head, you know? I feel like I think that's the most important part of the movie.
You do. Right. You pre-imagine every moment, every little gesture, every blink.
How do you do that? Like, do you have to, like, sit in a dark room? Do you have to, like, drink a lot of coffee, smoke a lot of weed? Like,
I go up to Mel's Diner here, right up the street on Ventura.
And you just watch people come in and out,
well,
get ideas?
I, you know, just sit there and listen to rock and roll music.
Really?
You know? Yeah, just the more activity, the more chaos, it just keeps you going, you know?
That's crazy. Really
cool. Do you actually do writing there when you go to Mel's?
Yeah. It's my office, basically.
Oh. Every day they're like, hey there.
I know all. Yeah. It's a little bit like Norm coming in. Cheers. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Justin, so you moved out here and you decided you wanted to do film. How did that come about for you?
I did have a medical practice for a while.
Right.
And I basically, Terry was working on the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Okay.
And so he was doing a lot of traveling. So I spent some time on set with him. And just got the bug. I mean, it's so fun being on set.
Right.
And it was great not having a job on set.
Right.
So I could actually observe everyone. And I just floated around and I learned from everyone. And
loved it, huh?
Had a great time, yeah.
Very cool.
Kept Jerry Bruckheimer company.
Yeah, everyone would scatter off to their jobs, and Jerry Bruckheimer didn't have anyone to have breakfast with. So
you did.
Sit and have breakfast. And
wow, how
talk
cool
about
is
film.
That? Wow.
That's great.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What studio was that for? Disney? The
yes.
Pirates,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Now, so you were on the writing team.
Yes.
Of the films. How much of, how does a team write? Do you collaborate, like, in real time?
Yeah, do you ever argue? Like, no, that's stupid, Bob. Doesn't go there.
Most writers are a bit shy and passive-aggressive, you find. So the less two writers on a writing team, the less they speak to each other, more they're fighting. So if you go to a room and both writers are sitting there completely quiet, they're in the midst of a knockdown
argument.
But for the most part, it's just plain old dull problem solving. And so even on a hit movie, the only thing you remember is the fact that it was just one big long problem.
Right.
Another.
Right.
By the time you get to the end, you're like, what is that? Oh yeah, those are all the solutions. I forgot about those.
Yeah.
Wow, very interesting. So did you get any projects in film where you didn't have to collaborate on the writing, where it was just you?
Gosh, I've always had writing partners.
Laboratory Conditions.
Oh, that's right. Laboratory Conditions. That's
right.
Probably my
first. That's the one we're going to get to.
That's my first solo credit, isn't it? Now that I think about it.
And it's really, isn't your first screenplay?
Yeah, it's crazy. I had the idea for that script in college, and it was the first screenplay I ever wrote back when I didn't know that there is no market at all for short films, really. It's not like an economically feasible thing to do. But I did not have the ending for the longest time. And then it was actually at Duke.
I took Terry to visit where I went to med school. And there are these basement corridors.
Sounds creepy.
It's creepy. Very creepy. It connects different buildings.
Yeah.
And it's sort of where they have the morgue and some of the
Wait,
labs.
There's a morgue at Duke?
Well, all hospitals have to have a morgue.
Oh, my God. That really creeps me out.
Yeah, you turn the lights on and they, like, blink off.
Yeah, right? Very long and dragged out.
Yeah, exactly.
So we were down there walking from building to building and down in the depths of the tunnels, Terry stopped and he said, I have the ending to Laboratory Conditions.
Really?
That's awesome. So see, everything happens for
a
reason.
Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
So you just get ideas, like, out of nowhere in the middle of doing something else.
And then you got on a plane and you went to Mill's Diner and you finished writing it.
In fact, I'm having an idea right now for a screenplay based on this conversation.
Can I star in it? I've always wanted to be an actress.
Don't we all, right?
Actually, we're planning some micro-budget features coming up, and we do need a radio personality.
Okay,
that,
well, there you go.
Project, yeah.
There you go. So, you see...
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, you always stick yourself, squeeze yourself into
it. I do. I literally, everyone that comes in, I'm like, so.
Yeah, what can you do for me?
Because I hate doing shit for myself. Help me out, please. Thanks.
So I guess it grew, it was a natural progression where you guys would collaborate on a major film for you guys. Did you make any films before this together?
We did.
The short films. The comedic films.
Comedic films, right. It's a web series.
Mm-hmm. And also we wrote screenplays together. The Timur Bekmambetov
is a very famous director.
Russian filmmaker.
And he...
That's an intense name.
It is. I can
Whoa. It sounded like a show. I was like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
So yeah, we collaborated on a screenplay for him.
And then work for Riot Games, too, as well. Their League of Legends video game did an adaptation for that.
Oh, cool.
This is the first step into actually learning the whole filmmaking process.
So how long is a short film?
Ours is 16 minutes.
But
they can be anywhere from a minute to 20 or 30 or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. 30 is pretty unusual, though, right?
That's
long.
That would be long. Yeah, that would be the extreme.
Yeah. So you guys sort of like fell in the middle, which is the more common format, I would say. Up to 20 minutes or so, right?
Right.
Now, and then you decided, so you were you directed Laboratory Conditions. So is that your main... so-called title, you're a director?
I would consider that my first film, my first short film.
Okay. Have you done any directing before that?
Only really short comedic web series type things.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is really major for you. You guys are really excited about it.
Where can we watch it?
It's playing in Tribeca right now, and that's just a huge honor to be selected for Tribeca.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, and we'll get to that because I'm really curious about how you get selected and everything. But so you guys put this together. How did it work? Did you first write it? Did you write it alone, Terry, or was that a collaboration as far as the writing goes?
Well, Jocelyn has all that medical expertise, so a lot of the authenticity of the medical side of it came from Jocelyn, but I still took credit for it.
So you like to tell stories. Have you written books at all or just screenplays?
Just screenplays is my expertise. I mean, I have worked in both live action and animation, which is a little bit unique.
Right.
I love animation movies.
Yeah.
It's like my fave.
Yeah. Animation is just marvelous because all the talent, you have time for all the talented people to just layer their talents
on
top of each other.
Right. I feel like that might be harder than acting in like real life.
Maybe.
Because you have to like pretend that you're in that moment, you know, right. Like you're not actually there. Like when you're
But Justin
Timberlake and Trolls, he's not really actually a troll.
Yeah, but how would that be harder? You know, I mean, you know, they're not seen. You know.
Yeah, that's cool. That's actually cool. And they're just wearing like headphones like this, right? The microphone.
Yeah, I mean, it is an issue. There are a lot of techniques that come into play there where. They'll try to get the actors together.
Right.
They'll actually have the storyboards there. They have little maquettes there. They sometimes even show up in costume to kind of make it seem realistic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
So is laboratory conventions...
Conditions.
Conditions, sorry. Sleeping.
Laboratory conditions.
Conventions. That doesn't even make sense. Is that supposed to be a horror film? Kind of sounds like if I was like... Hearing it for the first time, I'm like, oh, that sounds like people are going to die.
Well, just give us the gist of it so we know generally what it's about. Don't give away all the twists. And
yeah.
So the short version would be a physician discovers that one of her terminally ill patients is gone missing, and she discovers him as part of an underground experiment.
Wow. Mm. So he was missing, what, from the hospital or something?
Right, from his bed.
Wow. Mm. I like that. I like experiments and stuff. So,
and then it all goes wrong.
Yeah, I was about to say, it just sounds like it's about to be disastrous from there. Yeah.
Wow. And you guys got some awesome stars in the movie. Tell us a little bit about that. You have Minnie Driver and Marissa Tomei, which are major names. And is this their first short film project, or have they done short films before? Do you know?
Either one of them? This might be their only one, now that I think about it. I doubt that they've done another...
I can't say for sure. I would think that they may have in the past.
Yeah, but
so?
But
I can't they
say.
Have.
But they're very talented women. Who are the guys? I see there's a picture of a couple of guys in there too. Who are the actors?
Well, we have Paulo Costanzo.
Okay.
Robert Scheid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because we want to give credit to
absolutely
all of them. You know, and so how long did it take you for you guys to make the film? Like, from the moment, like, let's say, first of all, how long did it take to write?
25 years.
I was just going to say, you said you started in high school or college?
I started in college and didn't finish it didn't come up with the ending until much later.
Right. But then you had a finished product.
Oh my gosh. There's pre-production and...
So you have to, as a writer, you have to be involved in all of that, right? Not just the writing, but... Everything else, too,
yeah, because
right?
There's revisions. You know, the casting process, and I mean, filmmaking is a long, slow,
torturous
affair.
Right.
So you guys took this upon yourselves, though, to put the whole thing together, right?
We really wanted to do it as an experiment to, in the future, make a feature length.
Right.
Film. So we thought if we can do a short and make all of our mistakes on a lower budget, then. We'd be ready to go do a feature.
That makes sense.
That's awesome.
Now, who's the producer for the film?
His name is Joe Russell.
Joe Russell. And he, what's his background? Has he done short films before?
He has done a little of everything. He's actually just done a feature called XOXO that's fantastic.
Really good. It's like the modern day American Graffiti.
I love that.
Really, I like the title of it. It's a very catchy title.
It's so incredibly well done. And he's done commercials and just...
And he's also worked as an actor. So
yeah, he's done he's done everything.
Yeah, I was like, he's done it all.
And
yeah.
We had such a good experience. We're definitely booking him our team is together for our next couple of features.
Right.
Very nice, and we'll talk about that. I wanted to ask you, so now you're in the festival circuit and everything. How... before that, the directing the film, right? I mean, here you are, you know, your first major thing, and you're with, like, major stars here. How did that feel? Who did the casting?
We did the casting together.
Did
as
you
as
really?
A team.
And so how do you get them? Do you send them scripts and ask them if they want to be on the film? How did you decide these are the people you wanted?
We did. That's exactly right. And they expressed interest, and we met with them and discussed their take. And
we were kind of amazed because, you know, there's always a list of performers that you think, oh, well, you know, here are all these big name performers. And maybe you come up with seven or eight, whatever. And our number one choice was Marissa Tomei. We sent it, and she said yes.
Oh, wow. You guys were ecstatic.
Okay. Well, you know, we don't have to go to number two. Our number one choice for the other role was Minnie Driver, and she said yes.
And you, so you got
That's
both
crazy.
Of them.
And we were shocked. We were blown away. It was really amazing.
So they realized you have something really good.
I think they did.
Yeah, very nice.
I do think that it was a matter of... you know, they didn't do it for the money. They didn't, you know, it's a short film. It's not necessarily for the prestige. I do think
right.
that they really were intrigued by the roles.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're strong female-driven roles. I mean, it's definitely great roles for women to play.
So. Yeah. And how did you get your skills in direction, in directing?
From being on set.
Really?
Yeah, I've been on set.
So you haven't had any formal training or anything?
Not really.
No, so this is just from observing, learning, trial and error.
Well, three or four pirate movies being on set. Yeah. Tells you a lot. Well, I mean, you know, you watch Gore Verbinski and
I've been on set with quite a few. Rob Marshall and Mark Webb has given some advice. And
Also, Turtle Taub. Being on set, really, you learn a lot.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine.
Very nice. I'm very impressed, you know. So how long did it take to put the shooting? How long did that take?
We had 5 days to shoot.
5 days.
And we used an extra day for some of the visual effects, some of the green screen. So basically 5 days, 5 or 6 days.
That's crazy.
But we shot two cameras in order to get as much footage as we could during that period.
Very nice. And who did you get for camera work? As far as who did the
our DP was Ben Cutchins.
Uh-huh.
And again, a fantastic cinematographer.
Right.
He's actually won an award already for this short.
Really?
Oh, wow.
At one of the film festivals. So.
Wow.
Very nice. And so people are able to watch this now, right? The film and stuff. I mean, if people want to see it.
Right now, we're keeping it out of the mainstream so far.
Okay.
It's playing at Tribeca currently.
Okay, and that's in New York, right?
In New York.
Right. And how long will
it
be there?
The Newport Beach Film Festival is coming up, if somebody wants to go down and see it down there.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
Fairly close.
When is that going to happen?
About 3 weeks from now, I think.
Around my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see Tribeca, it's playing this week, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're in New York, you should check it out. The film is Laboratory Conditions. You can go to the website. It's kind of like a long URL. So maybe if they just Google the name of the movie, they'll find it. I have the Tribeca film website in front of me. So, but it's very cool. You know, I mean, I'm very intrigued to see this now. A physician investigating a missing body disrupts an unlawful experiment. Wow. Aren't you curious to see what's
going on?
Well,
that's my type of movie anyway, so yeah. I'm interested in seeing it. Maybe I'll go to the Newport Beach convention.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Now, what other festivals do you guys go to?
Let's see. We won Best Short Film at the Pasadena International Film Festival.
That's awesome.
Really?
And that was just a month or two ago.
Gosh, what is it called? Stag? Sticks?
Sitges in Spain. I think we've been accepted to 20 or 30, so we couldn't list them all.
It's all over the world.
We just got
an award in Great Britain, too, for Best Science Fiction Short.
That's right.
Okay, and this is all for this movie.
Yeah, we're doing really well.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So did you have a lot of special effects? You can't possibly in a short film, though, right? Have a lot of that.
We had
some
special effects.
So you had to work with like a CGI house and stuff, and they do the graphics.
That's right, we did.
And stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that was one of our goals was to learn everything.
Yeah.
So actually, there's a distinction between special effects and visual effects.
Okay.
Yeah,
just
so
you know, visual effects are the CGI stuff.
Okay.
Special effects, we had those too. Those are the effects that you construct on set.
I see. Gotcha.
We did a little of each.
I see. Wow.
Yeah, I had no clue.
I'm intrigued. You know, and the interesting thing usually in short films, they don't get into that much. You know, it's a lot more about drama, the interaction of characters, because they don't have a big budget to invest in all that stuff or whatever. So they just focus on a relationship. But here you actually have a story that you're telling.
Right.
We were very strategic, let's say. Sneaky might be another way to describe it. But we looked at how short films were done and said, okay, we're going to do things that nobody else does. Nobody has big stars. We had big stars. We shot it like a feature. It looks like a feature. We got Hans Zimmer's company to do music. Nobody does that sort of thing.
Right.
That's true. So we went all out.
We did visual effects. Nobody does as many visual effects.
That's true.
On and on and on. And, the end result becomes a stepping stone for your career. So,
That's true.
It was worth all that.
So when you guys decide to do a feature, do you think you want to do sci-fi?
Actually, we have 20 or 30 ideas for features, and they run the gamut.
20 or 30?
We do.
You're not saying two or three. You say 20 or 30. Well, that's a lot.
Should we tell
them? Our next features, we're going to shoot two at once.
Okay.
And basically, the next one that we're working on is called Dashboard Jesus and Hula Girl.
Hula Girl.
And it's basically... A road buddy film with a romance and a country music theme.
Oh.
So completely different from the science fiction. The idea.
I love myself a romance, though.
Well, the idea, again, we're trying to be strategic, but like if you go to a film festival, a lot of the film festivals, everything is socially relevant.
Right.
And everything is dark, and there's all this drama and angst.
So, is it going to be an interracial relationship?
Well,
that's what I'm feeling here.
Dashboard Jesus is the little character that sits on the dashboard that his trucker talks to, and he falls in love with the hula girl in a car.
Oh, wow.
And they go racing across the
Arizona
the Southwest.
Desert.
Whoa.
And it's like, okay.
Wait, is she actually in the car? Or is he imagining it? I feel like he's imagining it.
Maybe not.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's like an homage to the American road and also to country music.
Right.
Yeah. So that's like, okay, I'd go see that.
Yeah.
That's different.
True.
Yeah.
Have you guys done a road trip before?
Oh, yeah. We've been out on the road.
Really?
And then the second one that we want to follow up with.
Basically, that's... Naked Houseboat Party of No Return. So
is that a horror film?
It's a horror. It
that
tells
one's
you,
genre.
It tells you exactly
you got
what
it exactly.
is.
Yeah, it's a horror film, right?
It's a little bit Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So. I got that right from the title. I was like, everyone's dying on that boat, except for one naked person who figures it out. Or is the killer one of the
but
two?
But tell me you would not go see that
I would
film,
definitely see it.
Just based on the title.
But I go to see every horror film possible, even if it's trash. I have to know for myself, which is weird because I'm scared of the dark and I sleep with the lights on after, but I still have to go see it.
It's been a good era for horror films over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
There's been some good stuff out there.
Yeah, like Conjuring 2, I was pretty disappointed in like The Incarnate. That was trash, I was shocked about because he's a great actor. I was expecting a lot more from that movie. But
who is a great actor?
I don't know his name, but he was in Batman. He played Two-Faced.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who that is.
We're big fans of that first Conjuring movie. That's
the first one's great.
His name is Aaron something, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got the butt crack chin.
Yeah,
he's
like
good looking, but he's not.
Very, very, yeah. He's been in a few movies, yeah.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so you guys are obviously like oozing with ideas and talent and everything. So the next project for you is that feature you were talking about?
We're going to do two at once. And
why two at once? Are they going to be sequels or anything?
No, they have nothing to do with each other. It's a way of saving money, really.
Really? So you already have all the equipment?
You're going to have some long-ass days.
And place and stuff. Wow.
Well, sometimes if you find a location you love and you can use it in two films, you can shoot both scenes out of sequence.
That's true.
And save visiting that same location twice.
Also, gearing up the crew is a lot of effort. And once you get your crew with a rhythm, first couple days, everybody's trying to just
get used to everybody else.
Get used to everybody else. And once and the actual shooting schedules for micro-budget features are surprisingly short.
Right.
Like, you get an entire feature film in maybe, like, 20 days.
That's crazy.
So why not go another 20 days?
And just bang out two.
And get two. Yeah.
So you guys are going to do the hula road trip and then go straight to the boat and kill everybody.
That's right. Doesn't that sound like a good time?
It does. It sounds like a great time. Are you kidding me? Who's dying first? The black person, obviously.
Oh, come on.
I always get so excited when they're, like, the second or the third. I'm like, yes. Yes. Like, Jason versus Freddy. I think the black person actually survived in that one, if I'm mistaken. Or maybe I'm thinking of...
I think you can hardly generalize about that.
No, it's true. Everyone always jokes around about it. The black person always dies first.
Well, you may enjoy this. It's actually true that out on Lake Mead, which is where we would hope.
Where's that?
Outside of Vegas.
Yeah, giant lake. Yeah. It's still in California.
Arizona, yeah,
Arizona, Nevada. California, Nevada area.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
Near the Hoover Dam. They actually filled up a canyon to make that lake. So when you're out there on a houseboat, there's a town underneath you underwater.
Oh.
Really?
And that's a little... That's
really creepy.
Spooky. That's a little creepy, and we're going to take advantage of
and
that.
And what if they didn't evacuate the cemetery?
Yeah, right. Wow.
And so we actually want to shoot some underwater stuff, too, which is, again, you don't ever do that in a micro-budget feature.
So what happens with that town? Do people live in that town? In real life? No, right?
It's flooded.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, because wouldn't it be like everyone be drowned by now?
What kind of a freaking question
is it not weird to go swimming somewhere and look down and see, like...
People?
A house and a... You know, gas station and a cemetery.
Yeah, that's wicked creepy.
Yeah.
So there is that special effects or visual effects when you add that in?
We will do a little of each, I imagine.
Gotcha.
Probably, you know, special effects are cheaper. We'll try to do as much as we can, but there'll be some visual enhancements.
That's
very
cool.
Nice. Well, you guys are very impressive. I think you've done a tremendous job here with this film. I'm eager to see it, and we got the trailer, at least the trailer. I don't know if people get to, if everybody gets to see it, but we have a link to it.
Right.
So, and I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. So when is it going to be out here in California if people want to see it?
Well, we have an interesting plan for laboratory conditions in that to release it, we'd like to collect together several other films
On like a DVD or something, right?
Well, it might even get theatrical release if we can put it under the right umbrella. There are these anthology series that sometimes come out.
Right.
And if we can find other films that are in the same realm,
right?
Package them together, then it would be released in theaters as part of an anthology.
Oh, that's cool.
But what about going online, like on a Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Does Netflix have short films?
iTunes has probably got a more viable path. Honestly, that'll be after the festival run.
Right.
We're playing all the way through Austin, so that won't be for another,
Right. So the purpose of the festivals is what? To get exposure within the industry?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's what it is. Okay.
Absolutely.
We've already had studios come say, you know, this film has, you know, gotten such attention and awards and such. Would you like to do a feature version of it? And that's exactly what you want, is to get attention.
Right.
So you'd have to make the story longer.
Yeah, you explore more of it and go deeper into the...
Yeah, characters and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, we're totally out of time, folks. Jocelyn and Terry, are you guys... Well, so Laboratory Conditions, everybody. Check it out. Be at least aware of it until it comes to your neighborhood theater.
You heard it here first.
But you said there's a festival here in Orange County?
Yeah, Newport Beach Festival is the next one up that's close by.
That's cool. So we can go to that one and see it. I'm eager to see this now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, you know, I mean, just the released pictures look amazing to me. So congratulations to you guys.
Thank you so much. This has been really fun.
Yes, and you guys are truly true professionals, and you take your work seriously, and I know you're going to do very well. You know, you already are.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Justin Stamet and Terry Rossio, thanks again. Do you have a way where people can find out more about the film or you, like social media, anything like that?
We have a Laboratory Conditions website that will have all the updates on future awards and
cool and places so people can just probably Google it and find it. Thank you so much, folks. I hope to see you again.
Thank you.
We'll probably hear about you more in the coming years. I know.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say I know them.
Yes, the filmmaking team.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
We thank everybody for listening, and we'll you can listen to replays tomorrow.
See you on Friday. Tuesday.
And Tuesday it is. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.